Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly NBA podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in our lives. I'm Wahaj, your host, and with me today, like every week, it's A. Richard, a.k.a. Richie Rich.
Hello, hello, hello.
And it's Kevin, a.k.a. Kebo.
Hello, world.
And, as always, a special shout-out to our producer, Mike, a.k.a. Mike on Mike. Say hello, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
First time on the mic.
We finally got him on
record. Finally got him. Finally got him on record. There's no turning back now. So, the rundown today is obviously the biggest event of this offseason so far. It was the draft. And what a draft it was. One for the ages.
Surprising. Surprising draft. Actually.
And you know what? We were live tweeting this draft, and we got a great response from y'all. So, thank you for all the feedback, for all the questions, for all the polls that you've been answering, because we put you through work. And you know what? Since you took your time to do this poll, we're going to mention it. We're gonna break it down to see what were the biggest steals for this draft. The polls are in, and apparently Michael Porter Jr. is the top of that list. So what's the take? Do you all think that that was a steal?
Who was on that list, by the way?
It was also Doncic, Robert Williams, and Lonnie Walker for the Spurs.
Oh, man. I really have to commend your home team here, Waj, the Dallas Mavericks, for pulling off a draft day move to acquire Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that.
Arguably the top prospect, you know, amongst this draft, being able to get him at 3 just by trading the 5th pick and a future first. I think, you know, it was a big deal.
It's protected. Yeah. I mean, lottery protected, but you know, I'm a little worried about that pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cautiously waiting to see how it works out. But do you think that Doncic was a bigger steal than Michael Porter Jr.?
Yes.
I think the medicals came out on Porter Jr. just before the draft, and it turns out he may have to redshirt the first year, so we don't know yet for sure, but that's what I'm here.
I was on here the week before, or before the draft, pretty high on Michael Porter. I thought he would go around 7 or 8. But I think clearly the people in front offices who have access to medical are a lot more informed than me, and apparently is much more serious. So I think Denver took him because he's a name, and they didn't want to whiff, you know, they didn't want to miss out on best player available. But I do think it's a project more than an actual.
Right, why not work on a, you know, why not pick a flyer? Like, at the 14th pick, there's not many 14th picks, you know, even crack rotation. They're usually about bench players. If I recollect correctly, it's basically, you know, 70% of them only average about 6 to 7 points per game. So
is Denver a good situation for him landing in that 14th spot?
Yes. Yes, if that injury stuff is, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but if they can make it manageable, like he gives them some athleticism that I think they lack.
I've also heard a lot of attitude problems with the guy. Like, he came out too confident, almost cocky, and that was said in his draft workouts. Like, when the league sources talked to him, that was the impression they were getting. So I think that was also a factor in him sliding down from the 4th, 5th, maybe to the 14th position. Because if you have a guy who's humble and wants to kind of work with you to get better,
yeah,
even though his injuries are concerning,
mm-hmm.
that's a better outlook for teams. I think they're looking for somebody who's more humble in this day and age, so he can work with you to get better, or to get to the level that he was supposed to be at before the injuries happened.
Right. In his draft day interview, he mentioned he's probably the best draft pick that Denver's ever drafted. So,
well, that point. Yeah, that I don't have. I don't take issue with saying that, because that's just, you know, you
as being confident. Yeah, I personally don't take, you know, any issue with his cockiness. I'd like to see that, because, you know, he potentially could be the best draft pick in this draft. You never know. He's a number one high school prospect. He did have a back injury, but 5 years from now, we could be looking back and saying, damn, how the hell did he go to 14?
I think Doncic is still the best player in this draft, so.
I mean, we've seen before.
Why didn't your Kings draft him?
Oh, my God! We're not talking about Vlade and his new super team.
This is Richards getting really enthusiastic about his takes. But we appreciated that. So following up, you know, on that comment, my question is always the draft picks before Embiid, Simmons, Fultz now have been redshirted for a year. They've come back. Blake Griffin did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we putting this guy in the same category?
Who?
Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr.?
Embiid had a really concerning injury.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
And look where he is now. So you think this is one of those cases? Any chances?
5 years from now, we could be looking back and saying, how the hell did this guy go 14th? Because he potentially has, you know, one of the high ceilings of this draft.
I'm going to consistently praise the medical teams in the NBA, though there's, like, lately been a lot of press about misdiagnosis, and except for the Chicago, I think they have some medical staff, but they're all been fired. But I think advances in sports medicine make it possible that redshirting for a year is an advisable strategy, especially with someone who you've invested a pick in. So I'm doubtful, but obviously there is a path for him to be productive in this league.
Given all this talk about the rookies so far, what's your take on rookie of the year next year?
With the usage rate, I think Doncic, not to be homer, could be in play for that. He's going to get a lot of minutes.
He goes maybe 16, 7, and 5, something like that. 16,
I mean, 16, Rick Carlisle is known for playing like two guard system, so he's in an ideal spot for that. Even whether he posts that statistic or not, because I mean, in Real Madrid, he was posting the same numbers.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how it all plays out. Mm-hmm. But I think Dallas is like one piece away from them being a 40-win team. I don't know if that's a hot take, really.
It's not a hot take, but it's a prediction. And
it's out there.
One DeMarcus Cousins away?
Or Julius Randle away.
Yeah.
How about you, Rich? What's your take, rookie of the year next year?
Rookie of the year next year? Why do I think it's going to be Ayton? I think...
The Suns have nobody else besides Booker that can put
Booker's
the ball in
usage,
the basket.
Yeah. His usage is going to affect that. I think Trae Young has a potential. He probably is the only player on the Hawks. Who do they really have?
Yeah, I didn't like that trade for them just because for me, Trae Young is a little bit like...
He led the country in scoring.
Well, their Travis, what's his name, Schlenk?
Schlenk, yeah.
He was the Warriors. He's a Warriors guy. So right. He's trying to do a discount Warrior team.
Mm-hmm.
He drafted a guy who plays like Clay. He drafted a guy who's supposedly the next Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So he's trying to replicate that system that clearly works, but we don't know. We don't know yet.
Value brand. Yeah. I think my personal take, I think Ben Simmons is going to win next year.
So, on a more serious note, do you think Atlanta would regret trading down? For instance, last year we saw that happen with the Philly and Boston pick, where Boston traded down. So you think, who is a better pick for? Is it for Dallas or is it for the Hawks in the long run?
In the long run?
I think the Hawks, you know, the fact that they got an asset out of it, and also, you know, they're taking a flyer on the guy who's led the country in scoring. He was third in assists. He's got a lot of potential offensively. We'll have to see, you know, how that translates to the NBA. But the fact that they have a safety net and an asset, it's kind of a win-win for both. So,
what about Robert Williams? I think the Twitter listeners mentioned that he was a steal going 27th.
Yeah.
So, what's your opinion on the guy? Do you know if this is a good fit for Celtics?
I have a take on that actually. I think I read something just yesterday where Rob Williams he was suspended the first two games in the NCAA for marijuana use. Apparently, he's not in love with the game of basketball.
That's what people have been saying.
A lot of people were saying that. Ainge is probably one of the only people who trusted him, which is one of the reasons why he dropped from his mock predicted 14-15 range, Wizards, to all the way down to what was that, 27, 25? Yeah. So yeah, maybe, you know, if anyone could cure that, it may be Brad Stevens. So we'll see.
Yeah, I heard it's a Michael Beasley thing with him. Like, he could be good. And the Celtics need a guy like that in their system. But also, his motor is questioned.
Yeah.
Motor. Marvin Bagley. You think he's in contention?
Rookie of the year next year? Rookie of the year?
He's going to have high usage.
No. Just because I don't think...
Really good, man. Bagley?
It's just like, I don't know what the... I don't know what the Celtics... Or not the Celtics. The Kings want to do. You know what I mean? Like... are you still going to be a sort of baddish young team next year, or are you really going to try and go for it and like win?
Try and go for what? Like, I think this is, they don't have the assets to move forward. I mean, you have the 1 and 2 with De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. You also have Bogdanović.
Yeah.
I mean, you have pieces, but I don't know if you're more than a 25-31 team at this point.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like even if you try and put it together, I don't think they feel a situation impressive enough for him to get noticed. Do you know what I mean?
Here's an interesting question. Do you think they'd have more wins if they would have drafted Doncic over Bagley next year?
Yeah, but I'm not putting salt on the wound here for the Kings fan. Like, I don't want to. I think Kings fans are already really upset. They've kind of given up on stuff. So I'm gonna enjoy the Mavericks picking the right pick. But I'm not gonna just rail on the Kings too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Marvin Bagley is a decent player. He's got his weaknesses. Everybody knows that. So I'm gonna wait and find out how it works. Obviously, he's gonna play 30-35 minutes easily. Because I mean, who else do you have in that front court, really?
Yeah.
Willie Cauley-Stein is not fighting for minutes here.
No. Always asleep defensively, and I'm not going to...
What about their last top five center?
Oh, again.
Papagiannis.
Yeah.
All right, enough with the railing on Kings. Biggest surprise for this draft?
Biggest surprise for me was one of the Bridges getting traded.
Ooh.
That sort of storyline, just because I knew Zaire Smith would go in the range of where he ended up. I just didn't think that someone would be interested in him more.
All happened because Zaire Smith, the fact that he was available at 16, kind of opened the doors for this with the Wizards picking Troy Brown. The Philly front office felt pretty good about him. They said he was the 1B option to the 1A of Mikal Bridges, and the fact that they get a 2021 unprotected draft pick out of it.
Yeah, it's Miami's pick. I don't know what spot that's going to land in, per se.
What year is it again?
21, Miami.
That's the year that all of the high school prospects, the one and done rule kind of goes out the window that year.
Okay.
It's going to be, you know, 4 times the prospects, 6 times the bust. So we'll see.
So for you, it seems more like a lateral move than a kind of...
It's lateral. We'll know how good this move is in 3 years from now.
Okay. That's fine.
I think the move was kind of bizarre on the Philly part.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I mean.
Is that your feel from the take? Right?
Yeah, like Zaire Smith seemed like, why would you? Yeah, it didn't seem like he would be as good of a fit as Mikal would.
One problem I had with this whole thing is you let the guy go into interviews. And then you told him, like, he's talking to media like he's been drafted by the Sixers.
Yeah, wearing
why would you let him walk in if there's trade talks already? I just didn't get the whole... And that shows because the Philly don't really have a GM right now. I think it's Brett Brown that was taking everything.
It was by committee.
Sure. So, I mean, maybe it's the inexperience that shows here a little bit.
Yeah, that to me is more of a... That's like a PR thing. Like, if you already know... Well, no, it is a front office thing. If you know you're going to trade him, you tell your PR, like, don't let him take an interview once he walks.
So I'm guessing this is the very last minute.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they were split on the votes. I don't know what happened, but this whole saga was, to me, not properly handled by the Sixers.
Yeah. In the growing list of situations not properly handled by the Sixers.
I'd rather have
under
Brett
previous
Brown.
Regime.
I'd rather have Brett Brown in committee draft.
Okay.
Then Brian Colangelo.
Brian Longcollars.
Okay. So overall, a great draft, right? Like, entertaining.
It was.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Except many, many other people on larger platforms than ours have said no current NBA player was traded.
Wow. Is that the first time it's ever happened?
It's true. I think...
Because Luke Rignauer is out of the league.
Yeah.
Sorry, that name has not been said in a very long time.
A long time, man.
All right. So we're going to move on to the second part of our episode, which is the next thing to look forward to. And no, it's not the free agency.
Oh.
It's this weird award show right in the middle.
Oh my God.
That 5 NBA players are going to show up to,
okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right?
And none of them are going to wear socks.
No. And shorts with suits, apparently. That's
a thing.
That's a thing. You know what? Don't Trae Young, really? And he's got ashy legs, too. Like, moisturize your legs, man.
Yeah.
Hashtag be different.
Well, it's a thing.
Oh, that's what he put on the shoe.
It breaks the ashes.
In Bermuda, it's called. It's the Bermuda lip, but if you're not like Tim Duncan, then don't.
Is he? Is he not from Bermuda?
No, he's
right?
from the Virgin Islands, but it's
close
it's a
enough.
Caribbean. It's like a.
Isn't he deathly afraid of birds? He's on the Hawks.
Yeah, he is.
I blame Draymond for starting this trend.
Okay, but yes, NBA awards.
Speaking of Draymond, we're gonna start off with the Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay,
Richard, do you think it's gonna be your guy, Embiid?
I'm sad Draymond wasn't nominated because I think his brain is brilliant. I don't think Joel is as brilliant, but I feel though the system funnels in the same way the other nominees do, funnels the offense towards him to mitigate. He's played enough games, sure.
And he goes on Twitter and says that he plays defense in caps.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
If he puts that in caps, I believe he plays defense.
He's an emphatic defender. We'll see if the bloggers think he's an intelligent defender. That's what I'll.
What's your take, Wahaj?
I'm gonna go with show some Pelican love here.
Okay,
let's go Anthony Davis because according to somebody, he's gonna be runner up in everything.
Yeah, that's me. Runner up in everything.
No, that's not very nice.
I love him, but it's not his year.
Why'd you pick AD?
This guy has been a force to reckon with the whole year. He runs the floor. He reads plays like no tomorrow. And this guy's improving every year. It's a scary, scary picture if Pelicans can work this out with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins going forward. Because that team looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They put Portland through a lot of trouble.
Oh, Miritich.
And nobody was getting inside. Like, Lillard, McCollum, nobody could drive to the lane.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is that big of a presence.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, what's your take?
I'm going to have to go with Rudy Gobert. I mean, Rudy Gobert, ever since he came back from his injuries, has anchored, you know, the league's best defense. He led that team to a remarkable comeback. The fact that they even made the playoffs. And not only that, but eliminated the OKC Thunder along the way. Like, that just goes to show how big of an impact Rudy Gobert has in the game. He was runner-up last year. He's consistently one of the best defenders in the NBA, and I think he wins it this year.
Yeah, you know what? I think the path to the Defensive Player of the Year was easier for Gobert. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I think Draymond, for whatever reason, is not included. I think it's because the Warriors had a meh 58-win season.
Yeah, for sure.
And Kawhi was injured. So that factor played into these guys coming in. But they're a valid picks, in my opinion. So Gobert, I think, could easily win this.
Also, honor centers. Honor centers in this league, you know?
Yeah. Like, the big man's going away, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Just having Gobert in the paint deters players from coming in there. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's, you know, out there blocking all those shots, but you know, if he's even altering the way that the offense works, I think that goes to show how much of an impact he has.
What's his nickname?
The Stifle Tower.
Oh god, do we have a Stifle Tower drop?
James shot percentage is like my favorite random stat. But yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, do you really think that it's gonna be a landslide for Rudy Gobert? Or the votes are going to be divided?
Do
you think it's going to be a close race?
Or is it just like a open the ballot, you win the Oscar thing?
I think we'll get the breakdown afterwards, but I think it's a landslide.
Mm.
I think it's more split, to be honest, because AD is that impressive.
AD did play more games.
Yeah.
Mm, that sentence does not said a lot. Okay, moving on to the Rookie of the Year, which is not going to be a landslide. Who's your pick, Richard?
I'm so biased. I think it's gonna be Ben Simmons. I think they overlook this weird loophole because he finished so well. I think like the way that season ended for them was it like
that 17 game win streak that led them to become the 3 seed.
Yeah, and transpired all of that seeding issues that we have discussed heavily.
Yeah,
I think it's a good sign. I think it's a good sign for Philly if he wins it. I don't know I don't think it means anything to him personally, aside from this sort of weird feud that one of you, presumably you will pick the other person.
You mean the actual rookie?
Yeah, the actual rookie, yeah. But I think if he wins, it does make this conversation a little bit weird next year. Because then it becomes like a hockey thing where the first 2 years you count. Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to go with the guy the players took. Donovan Mitchell. Because the players know more than us. We're just a bunch of blog boys. The players had to actually guard him. And Donovan Mitchell is an absolute amazing player. I can't believe he fell to 13. He's the best pick out of that draft. The true rookie of the year.
I mean, do we even really care who the third person is? I'll give some love to Kuzma. Is Kuzma in the thing?
Tatum.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Tatum. So Tatum is really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
And very unexpected steal of the draft. And Philly is regretting this. Sort of pile on them.
Well, you know what?
We're Markelle could turn out into something. Yeah. We don't know. You know, and I was kind of hoping to mention Markelle if he played in this conversation, but that never ended up happening.
Yeah.
And Tatum proved us in the playoffs more specifically that he is developing every month. He progressed. He can shoot. He can drive. He can defend. He's long, athletic, like ideal spot for the Celtics to be in this logjam at the forward position. They have a lot of options.
I would love to have that problem. So yeah, they're very lucky.
So does Danny Ainge.
For the modern NBA, I mean, just having overloaded on wings like they are.
He's not going to win, in my opinion, but I think he was a solid pick. People would be mad if somebody said, like, oh, Tatum wins the award, because I think Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell have been in a class of their own, carrying their team, even though Jason Tatum did go to the Eastern Conference Finals and got beat by LeBron in 7, which is a very big achievement, but that was in the regular season, even though his performance was elevated in the playoffs.
I think next year is a big year for Tatum. Maybe he gets a Rising Star is the first too, right? So he'll probably get a Rising Star nod and maybe some MIP buzz.
What if Donovan Mitchell takes that from him too? He scored like 45 in that game or something.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but MIP is in the cards for him.
All right. So we are, I mean, because he was a local guy, Coach of the Year.
Okay.
I think this is gonna be pretty much doing Casey, right?
The case for Casey was pretty clear. He led a team to 59 wins the regular season. I know, but he did, and it was a great season.
It was a great season.
It was probably the best season in Raptors history, and top 5 offense, top 5 defense hasn't been said enough. It's been said a lot actually, but you know, I think Casey is gonna win that.
All right, so I think my pick is gonna be Quinn Snyder. Coming back to whatever he was talking about, playing the best defense in the league.
In a tough
Western Conference. Yeah. Yes, it's hard to do.
That's
going
real.
You're going up against teams that are legitimate offensive threats.
Yeah.
And this guy's been on the radar for a while. People speak really highly of him. He gets through to his players. He runs the system really well. And he really brings out the best in his players. I mean, what else can you ask for from a guy who can develop, but is also a tactician?
Yeah, that defensive scheme that he runs is genius.
All right, Richard.
Sorry.
All eyes on you.
I'm thinking about how much I like Quinn Snyder, because I like him a lot.
Yes.
The only thing that you can ask is, like, hold on to your stars, because the other nominee is where Gordon Hayward went to, right? Like, so...
From the same tree, I guess.
Yeah, Brad Stevens exists in this world and runs a system that, you know, that is the envy of many other teams. People wish they had someone who is as young, as like strategically minded as Brad Stevens, and ensures as much commitment from his players. Like the other two that we talk about, like Quinn Snyder and Dwayne Casey, they get buy-in. But I don't think as many people have went on record and said, I love playing for Brad Stevens, as people have done for him.
You think LeBron would like playing for Brad Stevens?
Not while Kyrie's there.
Kyrie likes playing for him.
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament to how far he takes these not-so-great teams deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With whatever pieces he's given, he makes it happen.
And in ways you didn't expect, too. Like, I know it doesn't count because it was in the postseason, but the dude who will be accepting the awards for Boston, Aaron Baines, will be accepting all awards on behalf of Boston because of scheduling conflicts for some reason.
Oh, sure. Let's call it scheduling conflicts.
Well, yeah. Because
Kyrie's probably having another surgery somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he turned Aaron Baines from this like random backup center into a dude who can like shoot from three. So like,
yeah, he can shoot from threes. A large enough sample size, apparently.
Yeah, good for you.
All right, so we're moving on to the most improved player. And this is a heavy favorite, right? Like, I mean, is this even a case for anybody else besides Oladipo here?
Capella's made some great strides this season.
Dinwiddie is like an emotional pick, so I'll advocate for that when it's my turn.
Oh, Dinwiddie, nice.
either way, you can't pick anybody other than Oladipo. Victor Oladipo, nobody thought, you know, he'd be where he's at this season. He led the league in steals. Second place, Paul George. The fact that he's, you know, led his team to the playoffs, fifth seed, scoring more than 20 points a game, playing elite defense. I would give this pick to him 10 times out of 10.
Hmm. I mean, you can make a case for Dinwiddie, I guess.
Yeah. I would because, you know how I look at teams. I always look at fit and situation, circumstance. And Dinwiddie was replacing Jeremy Lin production. And
He's injured.
Yeah,
so.
You have to.
It's an easy replacement. Yeah.
You replace nothing, but still, in a spot where the league is kind of like, we need to do everything we can to fix this mess. And they're kind of transitioning from a team that was in a terrible situation to just being a bad team in a good situation. I think even having one bright spot, you know, he was at All-Star Weekend for the Skills Challenge, but I think he's demonstrated the results of the consistency internally in Brooklyn. And so it's more of like if he gets it, it's like a nod to the strides the organization has made. So that's
what his coach is a lot to credit for that. And he's a plug and play guy. You can pretty much put him anywhere and he will give you buckets.
Yeah.
Solid. And he was, I'm pretty sure, not a first round pick. Was he? I got a fact check on that. Like, I don't think he was picked very highly. He pretty much made himself into who he is today.
Yeah, I think it's a similar situation to Oladipo, just not as impressive. But I think for me, in terms of situation, is again why.
I mean, we can all agree that Oladipo has a lot more talent. We saw that coming out of college. He was a second pick. He should have been the first pick, actually, in my opinion.
Okay.
He's always been a solid piece. We were just waiting for him to take that next step, and I think he did it in his own situation. Orlando was a mess, so I don't think he could thrive in that system.
And OKC was OKC as
Russ. It was a Russ show.
Yeah, again this year.
Yes. So we're gonna move on to our sixth man of the year. What's your pick, Kevin?
Freddy.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the homer pick.
Oh my God, he's got two homer picks.
Freddie Van Vliet. This guy has, he's so good. So he came off the bench, led the best bench unit in the entire NBA.
Bench broskies.
Yeah.
The bench mob had actually the number three net rating amongst lineups in the NBA.
Okay, that's a scary stat.
Insane.
And Freddie was leading that charge,
he's
right?
He's the leader.
Yeah.
He's the leader of that bench mob. And I really hope, as a Raptors fan, I hope they re-sign him this offseason.
He's a priority, they've stated.
High priority there.
Well, they didn't draft Shai Gilgeous, so.
Yeah, they didn't try and sneak in there and bring Hamilton home, so thank God.
All right, so what is the biggest thing that stands out for Freddie? What can he do better than anybody else on that bench? Because it was a collective unit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just go to one guy, because they all contributed. So why is Freddie the pick in that bench?
He was able to keep level-headed.
Okay.
He always came into the game, and no matter what situation they were in, down 20, up 20, he was always calm, cool, collected, and he was able to drive and dish, you know, he was very consistent from three. I think, you know, Freddie VanVleet makes a case. He may not win, you know, considering the other competitor is Lou Williams.
Perennial
six-man. Six men like Lou Will.
Yeah,
but
has a song.
Name drops
Mike,
some songs.
You gotta get us that drop.
Yeah.
Six men like Lou Will. But homer pick, Freddie Van Vliet.
All right, I guess Lou Williams is a guy who I think should always win it.
Really? Because
of his production. But I don't know how much he's going to be coming off the bench. I guess with the Clippers, he can still come off the bench.
It was almost like Ginobili-esque, you know, like yeah, you're coming off the bench, but you're playing such heavy minutes.
Yeah, you're playing very heavy minutes. So I guess it's his award if he really wants it. All the time.
He does want it.
But you know, Lou Will's always been the guy. I mean, we know what he produces. He did this locally as well as a Raptor.
Yeah.
And wherever he goes, he'll just put up. He's a Jamal Crawford-esque person. He will constantly get you buckets when you need it.
I know this is a regular season award, but Eric Gordon was so fun to watch that Warriors series.
I don't think D'Antoni believes in the bench.
So. No, he plays 8 guys now, right?
In the playoffs, he played.
He played Joe 7? Johnson as well.
Yeah,
and you play ISO guys, I guess.
Yeah, well, Joe, but you saw Joe Johnson was like. Yeah, I guess I played for Houston. He looked so out of place.
A lot of people looked out of place in the last, like, half of that Game 7. It was a very odd place to be. But, you know, Eric Gordon takes these really deep threes, and Houston is a team that takes a lot of those 25 to 27 foot.
Yeah, it's part of their game.
And they do it at a great rate. Like, their percentages are really high when they shoot from there. And Eric Gordon's a key piece for that team. So I'm all up for it. And you know what I like about Eric Gordon? Besides all these guys that Houston has that can just post up and shoot threes, Eric Gordon can put the ball on the floor. He can drive. Right. He can finish. And that's very important for James Harden and Chris Paul so they can take some sort of load off them because those two guys really carry the ball, carry the team a lot.
Yep.
So if you want to take some pressure off those guys, I think Eric Gordon is a very valuable asset to have. So I'm going to make a case for him being the third best player on that team.
That's fine.
Interesting.
All right, so we're down to the biggest award of the night.
Save the best for last.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to pick your MVP?
Yeah, let's hear the nominees.
All right. Well, obviously, James Harden is always in the mix.
And Anthony Davis. Seconds.
And Mr. Free Agency himself, LeBron James.
LeBron James.
So this shouldn't be a hard pick this year, right? Because we've always kind of ignored Harden for a lot of years now.
Yeah.
So is Harden a heavy favorite?
Has to be.
Right?
He has to be. He was the runner-up last year, and so he went and was like, I'm just going to do the same thing again.
You think it should have gone to him last year?
No.
Oh, you were a Westbrook pick.
I liked the revenge tour, to be honest. But 2 years in a row, he's not a nominee this year. But I think now we've seen that the circumstances with the winning made it the MVP choice. But now it's like, what are you doing?
All right. So, like, what is how will you make a case for Anthony Davis, Kevin?
Anthony Davis is just an absolute monster. The fact that he's runner-up in this award, Defensive Player of the Year. Where else? We could put him in almost any of these, you know, like top awards. What is he? First team All-NBA this year. He's a top 5 player in the NBA.
Yeah, some might say, for sure.
Yeah, and I think he's got all the tools. If this isn't his year, I'm sure he'll win it one of these years.
The thing that makes it difficult for Anthony Davis is just because of the way the season is, he can't be how good he can be all the time. Because like when you watched him in that Portland series, like watching him and Mirotić also spend like every ounce of their energy on defense. Literally, like, grabbing their shorts because they're so gassed and then still being able to produce on the offensive end was incredible to watch. But, like, over the course of the regular season, it isn't as sustainable. But when you watch him be transcendent like that, then I can understand. It's just that the way the league is, it's, like, easier to see James Harden's greatness over...
Yeah, because I think the usage rate is a lot higher for Harden. Yeah. Over Anthony, because you see the ball in Harden's hand a lot, and you see him go through the free throw line so much, you see his step backs, you see all these highlights, even though Anthony Davis is in the highlights as well, and you know, the common people see him a lot, know that he's proven, and you know, he's a big social media guy too now. He did the whole stint where he was about to shave his eyebrow.
Yeah,
that got him some promo.
Yeah,
so he's getting his name out there that people legitimately believe this guy is a top talent in the league. including all the injuries that people were concerned about, mm-hmm. they're still convinced that if this guy plays his full potential, the league is in trouble. But, you know, again, to your point, if he plays a team like Portland, he can afford to take possessions off with Jrue Holiday and stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're playing the Warriors, which showed, he was putting up big numbers, but he was getting gassed because Warriors are hard to keep up on like, it's hard to guard them.
Yep.
It's really hard to guard them.
Ain't gonna be no more layups.
Oh, you had to drop them.
Yeah. Kevin just loves slagging Portland. They're already dead.
All right. So I'm going to say LeBron James because he's always the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And do you think LeBron can maybe squeeze in some votes here?
This award to the LeBron James Award.
Yeah, it might. What is it named now? Is it just like
the LeBron James the Kia, MVP?
The Kia MVP?
LeBron James is Kia. I don't know how he fits in a Kia, but he, you know, he's sponsored by them.
Yeah, there's something to be said. No, I'll say this. I like the idea of LeBron James winning every year, but we know that his priority isn't the MVP, and it isn't the regular season. It's the ultimate prize, and that shows in his in the way that he carries himself on some possessions.
Yeah, I mean, he does fall asleep on the defensive end, but you can't really fault him too much for that. Because his production on the other end, like his usage on the other end is insane. He's playing 47, 46 minutes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you feel sorry for the guy, but at the same time, is LeBron really going for greatness here? You know, because he's always chasing the GOAT. He's always chasing that conversation now. And I think this is going to be another piece added to that conversation where he wins another MVP and people are like, well, guess what? Maybe he is like Jordan because look at what he did with this team this year, taking him so far. And, you know, with the amount of regular wins they had in the season, which was surprising as well, but turnover was insane on that team.
Yeah.
You had issues pretty much every day.
Yeah.
You heard things coming out of the locker room. You had team meetings, because they have team meetings all the time now.
Until I see a lot.
So much drama, but this guy still kept his cool and took this team to where they are.
Yeah, I think if you factor in leadership, I think that puts him over the other two. Like, I'm still convinced that it's James Harden's year, but if you look at the player that LeBron is and what he represents to the organization, then he is the most valuable player.
Yes. So James Harden is our pick, right?
Absolutely.
Are any of you guys are actually going to watch the show, or?
No, on principle, I can't.
Oh, you have scheduling issues, right?
No, it's not that I have scheduling issues. It's... This who is this for? Like, I understand you're putting it on to get ratings, but like, shouldn't it be for the fans?
I think the TNT wanted another show, so they gave the draft to ESPN, and this gives TNT. You know, it's just one of those things where like they kind of battle for like the big primetime spot.
Yeah,
sure, it's for the viewers, it's for the kids. Sure, they want to put a spectacle. I'm okay with it though. I don't mind it.
Okay.
So I'm gonna hand it to you now for our favorite segment. It's Entry Pass.
All right. So, well, I just called the play. So this is our news of today. We're going to dip in a little bit into the beginning of free agency. So we have some opt-ins that I have to mention. Carmelo Anthony, surprise, surprise, has decided to keep cashing them checks in OKC and has opted into his...
$29 million.
Keep getting them checks.
Yeah. Opted into his player option with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The news related to that is it may or may not be a factor in Paul George rumored to be taking a short-term 1+1 deal with them. So we'll see how that plays out. Another thing, this is more in like dudes Richard finds interesting because they can pass. Teo Dosic of the LA Clippers has decided to also exercise his player option and stay with the team.
What does that leave them with now? Like six guards?
I think it's five, right, Mohan? Like,
yeah, last time I checked.
Yeah,
they probably could have added one yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, so they're going to have some issues, more issues for Jerry West to fix in that situation.
It's a good problem to have, honestly. Teo Dosic is probably your best passer out of the bunch. So you can't let him go anywhere. You keep the guy. And you maybe choose to move the coach's son.
Yeah, yeah.
He does make the most money out of all of them.
Yeah, and was the reason that Chris Paul left. So, ouch. The next thing we have is the continuing journeyman Dwight Howard saga. Who would have thought that would be a thing?
Superman is in the building!
He's decided to pursue a buyout with the Brooklyn Nets rather than reuniting with his old buddy Jeremy Lin, and will become an unrestricted free agent. So where do you think everyone's favorite locker room buddy Dwight Howard goes?
Locker room cancer, you mean? I don't know. I think he land on the Mavs.
He takes the minimum, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, nobody's giving him more than a minimum, right? At this point, like, what are you...
No, I'm sure some... He's been putting up 17... He put up 16 and 12 last year.
Mm-hmm.
If Aiden puts up 16 and 12 this year, that's considered a success.
Yeah, he's but not on Dwight. No, Dwight's numbers are always inflated. They look that way because he's always in a situation where he's getting touches. And
he asks for touches.
He wants post-ups. And, you know, he needs to realize that wherever he goes, that's not going to be an option anymore. So he needs to rim run now.
Yeah.
Dwight, you're going to be rim running the whole time.
Yeah.
You be Capella. You be Capella wherever you go.
If he was Capella, Capella wouldn't be Capella.
let's enjoy Capella.
Yeah, so let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, but Dwight needs to go back to the big six and realize what he needs to alter for his game so a team could be interested in him.
So what team do you think he's going to go to?
The Bucks could be a good option, in my opinion.
How about the Shandong Tigers?
Oh, he doesn't in his life take that and go to China. But yeah, maybe the Bucks will work out for him. I'm like running through the list of people who need centers.
The Bucks like length.
Yeah.
Thon Maker's not working out.
We're measuring shoulders for length?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so I think that rounds it up for our entry pass for this week. It's a very brief one because we will be previewing the rest of free agency in a podcast later this week.
And also recapping the awards soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bigger entry pass is coming soon.
Yeah, this one was just a quick...
It was a quick bounce pass.
Yeah, quick bounce pass. we have a surprise, surprise. We have a Twitter question. Pat just handed to me.
People are listening to us?
Yeah.
Wow.
By producer Mike. We have a question from Carl, who lives in Welland, Ontario.
Shout out, Welland.
Yeah, one of my favorite little towns.
Niagara region.
Yeah, there you go.
As a non-Canadian, I know where that is.
With the news that Markel Fultz is suffering from the yips, have you ever heard of a scenario in the NBA or other sports that is similar?
Are we going to continue talking about Markel?
No, I think
we always talk about Markel.
Yeah, the dude's in his head. I've stopped buying conspiracy theories on Markel.
Okay, so bouncing off that question, has this ever happened before to an NBA player? Do we remember in our limited memories, is this ever been a case?
I have a kind of a scenario with this. First three quarters of the season, Jaylen Brown, despite shooting close to 40% from three, shot 57% from the free throw line.
That's real.
Seems like some yips, and that's a big sample size. So I don't know.
The only situation I actually think relates to this is like completely opposite end of the spectrum was like Tiger Woods coming back, and he was just like scuttled, like couldn't even putt.
Was that because of his injury? Like, that was his back thing, right?
Yeah, a little bit of that, and a little bit of just, like, his head, I think.
Yeah, I guess being your own head is a thing, and, you know, the NBA is really big on, you know, these players go through a lot mentally. I mean, it's not easy to be in the spotlight all the time, be talked about a lot. And now that you're so into social media, you're probably checking your mentions and what people are talking about you, that's gotta not help you, right?
They for sure check their mentions.
Yes. So, I mean, somebody's gotta keep this guy off and maybe put him in a cube or a box and isolate him from all the noise and just let him work on his jumper.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because, you know, jumpers are available everywhere now.
Yeah, there's just a box.
Online.
A box full of jumpers, man.
Yeah, just order jump shot development kit online. You're good to go.
You know, I feel bad for the kid. I really do. But I really hope he gets over his yips.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. But I think the jury's in and
I think
Boston,
he goes down as a...
Boston won that.
The best of Brian Colangelo's number one overall draft picks.
Primo Boston, so...
Maybe he's another Anthony Bennett.
That's very hurtful.
That's
sorry.
No, not for me. That's like...
You'd hope he's a Primo Pasta, right?
And Sosa.
That's a little bit.
Oh, Kevin, this is like the fourth time Kevin's mentioned Primo.
Boston and Sosa.
We have to mention Andrea Agui.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I hope he's listening because he should be calling us.
I will say,
shout outs to Big Ragu.
I will say this that
Dante DiVincenzo
that we've it. Seen just to sum up the whole podcast that we've seen that temperament and love for the game is very much a thing that is looked for now.
Does he have the motor?
Yeah, his motor is a real thing. And
I heard this on the draft day like a million times. And I'm like, that's the new thing. It's lateral quickness and motor.
Yeah, we're
two coveted points that scouts are really high on now. Yeah, but I hope the situation works out. I hope that he actually becomes a serviceable NBA player, if not an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he has an opportunity to prove himself that, you know, this guy was a number one pick. I mean, he was a number one pick.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Oh, man.
This is bizarre.
I mean, what kind of motor does he have? Like a Prius or like a, we're talking AMG engine here.
I don't even know.
All right. I think that's it.
All right. We're going to wrap it up.
Okay, everybody. That's it for this week's edition of Back to the Basket podcast. We will have a follow-up detailing everything you need to know about free agency coming up later this week. Please feel free to find us wherever you get your podcasts on the Google app, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Feel free to please keep engaging with us on social media. You can find all the available options in the show notes. And don't forget, we may turn our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. Bye!
Bye!